Hello, hello. I am Karen Jean-François, and this is the Women in Data podcast, a podcast where every other week I interview some of the most inspiring women working in data. They discuss how data is used in various industries, share their knowledge and experience in the field, and equip you with tips to help you overcome challenges on your career and feel great. Let's get straight to it. Welcome to co-hosted episode of the Women in Data podcast. It's been a while since myself and Cecilia have just had an episode together. And we thought we would bring you a topic that we both value very much, and that's networking. Now, I feel like networking is something that a lot of people talk about. People relate to it, don't relate to it. But there is always a lot of conversations happening around that. And I remember I grew up thinking networking was a bad thing. So I grew up on a very small island where it's like 350,000 people. And what people were saying is that, so we call it filon in French. Do you say filon, Cecilia, or is it Creole?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. I know this word.
Sometimes I have words. I'm like, is that French or is it Creole? Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's like, oh, you know, this person got this job because they know this person and this person and this person. And then what happens is that people just start thinking that if you use your network, or if you build a network, it's because you're not capable. It's because you can't find a job showing your value. It's because you know someone who knows someone and all these things. And I grew up having this idea of networking, thinking it's really bad. I mean, that's what it is, right? And I know I have friends who are like, yes, I don't think I want to use my network. I don't want to build a network because I want my work to speak for itself. So I'm thinking even here, there is this kind of limiting belief, I guess, that having a big network that can support you in your career means that you're not necessarily competent. That's not true. Thankfully,
no,
I grew out of this belief. And I think it's when I moved to London, because people are quite on top of it here. And I find it easier to connect with people and get support. So I've had loads of support in my career, in my personal life. And as an expat, I have to say, having a network when you live in a big city is quite important. What do you think, Cecilia?
Absolutely. And it's so funny that you say that about the filon. It's because where I come from in Brazil, it's actually a good thing, meaning, oh, so many doors are going to open for you because your family knows these people, and then you get your first job and things like that. This is like, it's actually like normal. And I remember when I decided I didn't want to live in Brazil anymore and I wanted to start my career, I started my career in France. And I remember when I started my career in France, my parents going, oh, it's so bad because we don't really know that many people in France, so we can't help you open doors. So I had to do it all on my own.
This is very interesting. So I'm thinking it's the different side of the story, because your family knew people, so they could help me. And my family knew no one. So I'm guessing so on your side, they could support. And on my side, it was like, oh, well, you're never going to get anything because we don't know anyone. Okay.
No, but it's funny, isn't it? But I mean, but also in the same way, I chose to go into a career that was completely different to my family's. So I remember my parents always saying, it's too bad because we can't help you open doors for you because you decided. And I'm like, yeah, but I decided that. So, the whole networking process is so different depending on the cultures where you are. And when I moved to France, I remember going to my first networking events and it was so cringe. It was awful. I remember going there. Nobody wanted to talk to you. Everyone had their own cliques, you know, and nobody talked to anyone. And then, like you said, you know, you come to London. Weirdly, London is really open to networking. People love doing that. I mean, I remember the first couple of years I moved to London. I was going networking twice a week for my job specifically. And I was like, this is what people do. Okay. So, and everyone would talk to everyone. And I was like, oh, okay. That's easy. It was so much easier. But I remember when I first started networking, and I thought it was so daunting because I had my experience from Paris, right, where people don't talk to each other. And then started networking here in London. And I remember I had a boss. I don't know if she's listening to this, but she'll recognize herself if she does. She said, if you're going to a networking event and you don't come, an evening networking event, and you don't come back with less than 15 business cards, it's useless. You're wasting your time. And I always thought, oh my God, I need to bring those 15 business cards. Otherwise, I'm going to be told off. So that was my trauma for networking.
That's the trauma of your life as a salesperson, going around asking for business cards.
Pretty much, yeah. And then you find business cards on top of the table. I did take those. Apart from all of those lovely experiences we had, networking is actually offering quite a lot of opportunities. It can really change some people's lives. And you can make connections that most of us would miss on just because we're afraid of doing it, or we're lacking time, or we think it's something else. We just don't know. To be honest, networking, you either hate it or love it. There's no really in between, I think.
I agree but disagree. I think you bend the muscles. I used to hate it. I mean, I'm an introvert. I am very happy in my corner, in my head, having conversations with myself or whatever. And going networking is just exhausting. I go to events and then I come back and it takes me a couple of days to recover sometimes.
Yeah.
But now although I know I'm going to be tired after, just going there bring me excitement because I know I'm going to meet some interesting people. Well, before it was not the case. So I think it's, you need to go past this barrier of thinking, oh, it's a difficult thing to do. I don't know how to start the conversation. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
That's true. But I also think that in a different, completely different way, I was very good at networking before, and then the pandemic hit, and then we internalized a lot of things. And now I know that going out and chatting to people that I don't necessarily know takes a lot of my energy. So for me, it's harder now than it was before, weirdly. But, that's just my experience. And everyone's is going to be different. And you're right. It is a muscle that you exercise and you get better at it. Or as I'm trying to do, more targeted when you can. But Karen, for you, what's the biggest advice for networking?
Okay, so there are so many advice, and we're going to give loads of them in this episode. We're not just going to be chatting about how we feel about networking. I want to say, when you start, the biggest one that really, to me, is what's going to make a difference is knowing why you are networking, because this is going to influence how you network, who you network with, what are your takeaways. And as you said, you target it a bit better now. It is time consuming, so you don't want to be wasting your time networking in the wrong place. So really knowing where you're networking is quite key. And we're going to be talking about networking for career advancement, transitions. This year you transitioned you made quite a big transition in your career. Yeah. We're going to be talking about networking for professional growth and skill enhancement, support network and well-being, because yes, you can network like that, especially as an expat, and also networking at events. So giving you tips on all these three. In terms of career advancement and exploration. So I love having curious conversations. There was a time where people were finding a job, staying there forever. It's not the case anymore, right? So things change quite fast. No. Technology comes. Now there is AI that's showing how fast things move. We're always thinking about, okay, what am I going to do with my career? We want to explore different career paths, because what you don't want to do is get into a new job and discover you hate it. You want to know before what it could be like to work in this company, in this industry, in this field, and all these kind of things. So using your network for that is quite key. They do say also, when it comes to looking for jobs, I'm not sure how much I trust this data. there are a few articles out there. I found one on Forbes as well that says that about 70 to 80% of the jobs out there, so of the open positions, are actually part of the hidden job market. So hidden job market is the job market that say companies have open positions, but they don't advertise them. So it's either they know someone who will be perfect for that role and then they will create the job description for that person, or it's internal movement, or they put it like last minute knowing that there is already someone internally that's going to have that job. So we also know that, you know, getting referred into a job increases your chances of being brought in for interviews.
Absolutely. I have a friend who works in HR, and she has always told me those things on LinkedIn, don't even try. It's not even worth it. It's all about having your CV in a format that the machine is going to learn, is going to read it, and was going to be able to read it properly. And then also someone that can help you put your CV on top of the file. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a job, but it means that at least someone is going to look at it, and it's not just going to be a machine putting it to the side because there is X, Y, and Z that are missing.
That's so true. So yes, you apply for jobs, obviously, mm-hmm. especially early on in your career. But I know I've worked in organizations where a job description is put out one day, and then in 2 days, there is like 1,000 applications. And the person on the other side cannot go through that many CVs. Let's face it. And I know at some point I had a friend, for example, who had applied to the job like this. They didn't speak with him because CV was lost in the sea of CV. And then what I did is I thought, well, I know this person. I trust this person. I will put their CV. And then he was brought in for an interview and eventually got the job because he was capable of doing it.
There you go.
And that's very important. Now, putting your CV like this, yes, it increases your chances, but you need to be aware that it is a must, as we said, it's a relationship with people when it comes to networking, mm-hmm. right? So you wouldn't send your CV to someone random that you've never met, being like, hey, here is my CV. But this happens. But making sure that's why you need to build your network. So you need to think about it ahead. So if you look for networking for career advancements, for job search, etc., you should not be doing it when you're looking for the job. Basically, you have to think ahead. So I always like to think two moves ahead, or one or two, or a move and a half sometimes, let's say, and thinking, okay, so this is the direction I want to take my career towards. Who can help me? How can I create the relationship with these people who can help me so that when I start looking for a job, and that's not going to be tomorrow, that's not necessarily going to be next year, although it can be next year, you never know what happens. But I know that I already know these people, they know me, they trust me, they know what it is that I can do. And we have a good enough relationship for them to feel comfortable passing my CV. And potentially they're the ones that are going to be able to tell me, Karen, do you want me to pass your CV without me saying, oh, hey, can you help me out? Going to someone you don't know saying, oh, can you pass my CV? I mean, I find that very unlikely to happen, because that would mean that, Cecilia, if I don't know you and I tell you pass my CV, you're basically telling your company, I trust this person to do a good job, but you don't know me. So that's kind of awkward.
There's nothing worse than receiving, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who have, receiving those messages on LinkedIn going, hi, do you know where my CV is in this application of this job in your company? I'm like, I don't know. I don't do HR. That's not my job. I don't take care of this.
Sorry, I'm not the hiring manager.
I'm not the hiring manager. And absolutely, if you're going to put someone forward, it needs to be someone that you trust and feel that they can do the job. Otherwise, it's also your reputation that is being put in jeopardy in this conversation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So to start doing these type of networking, I think there are different ways, right? So you can go through people you know, which makes it quite easy. So if you know already someone, they can already recommend you to someone else to be able to increase your network. If you want to reach out to someone you haven't met before, I want to say get close to what that person does. So understand why you would want to reach out to them, let them know that, and then personalize your message with really expressing why it is that you're reaching out, why it's them personally that you want to speak with, and then start creating the relationship like that. I found LinkedIn to be quite useful for that when people are active on LinkedIn, obviously. What you don't want to do is message someone who goes to LinkedIn every 2 years and then you're not going to get a message. So LinkedIn, yes, but target these people who you see post regularly or like, so you know they're going. Conferences or events, people from previous jobs, don't lose the connection. Meetup groups, workshops, mentoring and coaching, very good places for that. So I think that's it on the career advancement and exploration thing. Cecilia, in terms of growth and skills, what are your recommendations?
Before I go into that, I just wanted to say that we are the good example of the networking that was successful, because it was me sending you a message on LinkedIn. Hi, we don't know each other, but I'm doing this. I'm interested in that. Shall we have a conversation?
Yeah, that was true. So I remember you. So you started that conversation talking about the podcast and that you were listening to it and you were just transitioning into data. And that got me hooked. So I really wanted to chat with you, because I think podcasting is quite lonely. So obviously now it's the two of us chatting, but you don't know what's happening on the other side and what the listeners think. So always, every time when I get a message from someone saying, oh my God, this episode was so helpful, and then telling me why, I always follow up.
It's true. And I'm starting to get some of those messages too. It's so heartwarming. It's great. Continue, please. But anyways, let's go back to it. In terms of professional growth and skill enhancement, so this is when you're looking for mentors and peers with some kind of guidance or support for developing yourself, either your technical or your soft skills, just looking for a way to looking for someone to bounce back ideas, I guess. This is when we're looking more for guidance or from some continuous learning, because sometimes, you know, I mean, how many times have we spoken about being in the sea of learn, of knowledge, and not knowing which way to go? And sometimes you just need someone to help you, guide you to the right direction. So this is something that I am still learning myself. So I think, you know, sharing things on LinkedIn, for example, is a great way to do it in order to get people's attention, so that people can network, can exchange with you. There is a bunch of forums that you can go to. I love Towards Data and how you can find so many different things in there, so many different articles. So Karen, for you, what's the best way to find a mentor? Because I am still, I feel like I have a few mentors, and I ask different people when I know it's their different knowledge, where they excel in that knowledge. But what's the best tip for you to find a mentor?
I have also published a blog post on that, actually. I have a technique that I use for mentoring that is now being used against me. Well, not against me, but people are using it to get me to mentor them, just because I put it out there at conferences and also in that blog post as well, that I quite like. So I think for me, so you know, when we're talking about networking for career growth and all these things, so yes, talking to people that on LinkedIn, as you said, exchanging knowledge this way is quite key. And there are loads of forums for that. But for me, speaking with people one-on-one is what really makes a difference in my learning and in my growth. And so for mentoring, what I do is I identify the skills I want to learn. And then I find 4 or 5 experts in these skills, and I message them about it. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm trying to learn these skills. You excel at it. I've seen it because blah, blah, blah. So the personalized message that we mentioned before. And I would just say, would you be open to helping me on this problem? So I would just identify one problem. I wouldn't say, can you be my mentor? Because if you go and say, can you be my mentor? People start thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be an hour of my week every week for the next 6 months. I don't have time for this. So I just have one quick question that it would take them 10 minutes to answer. So just, I have this problem. I know you can help me, because do you have any advice? And more often than no, they will reply, I will go implement that advice that they gave me, come back and say, hi, thank you so much for this tip. This is what I've done based on what you said. These are the results I have. Is there anything else that you think I should have been doing to either make it better or have a different outcome or all these things? And then do it again and again and again. And then at some point, the person will be like, oh my God, this will be so fast, so much faster if we can get on the call. And they will tell you, they want to jump on the call. And that's how... And that's how you do it. It works. Obviously, there are some people who you can't always get a yes because people are busy and then there are other things that are happening in their life. But I find this to be way much more effective than asking someone, can you be my mentor? Every time someone says, can you be my mentor? I run in the opposite direction because I'm thinking, I'm working full time. I have a podcast. I can't be doing this. If someone sends me a question, I will reply.
That's a good point. And I think now that you mentioned, I think people are doing this to me and I didn't realize. and I've been doing this to people too, but it is a way to get at least some advice. And then, you know, and that's how you create, you create a relationship and then rapport with it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you've been asking the person several questions and then they start seeing how curious you are, how your brain works, and that you're actually following up on your actions. If someone tells me, let's have a 1 hour mentoring sessions, for example, there is nothing telling me that I'm going to hear back from that person again and that what I said was useful. So,
God, yeah.
You know, building that relationship, showing that you're following up and telling them what was the outcome of the conversation does make a difference.
I think it's a follow-up key too. That's definitely important. Yeah.
Yeah. So we spoke about networking for career advancement and for professional growth, which I guess are quite linked. I want to talk about networking for personal support. So it's like building your support system, but also for your well-being, because it's not all about progressing in your career and all these things. You do need a support system in place. I think especially for me as an expat, my family is not here. Cecilia, you're the same. I mean, if I want to see my family, I've got 24 hours before I can get there. Didn't grow up here, so exactly, childhood friends are not in the country either. So going here, building friendships, nurturing that is quite key as well. And the way I've been doing that is through networking. I think when you are a woman who works in data, it's very easy to do that, to find people who, I guess, can relate to some of the problems you have at work, let's say, and you can start creating a relationship like that, because we all want to exchange and then talk about different things. And that made it very easy for me. So I know I have this thing where I like to say I force people into friendships. That's what happened to you. I mean,
oh my God, what a horrible thing.
It's like, you reached out for career support and wanting to learn about data and all these things. And I was like, oh, you speak French. Okay.
You speak French, you don't live too far. Let's have a conversation.
It's also, yeah, I've got a lot of friends that I met through Women in Data that we go for breakfast or dinner who live in the area as well. I mean, having people in the area is quite important for me. Central London is not that far, but
it's a pain.
Honestly, I can't be asked to go get the train, travel 40 minutes, and then I have to come back. And I was just like, no. So walking to the coffee shop next door is not bad.
It's quite nice.
I find this very useful when, for example, you know, there is something that doesn't work well at work, and then you have someone who will have lived that and understand with you, and you can just have a chat. They understand what you're going through. We can share experience, there is encouragement, they share motivation. And, you know, sometimes we do go through challenging times. So being able to have someone who really understands what it is through your network that then become a friend is quite key. And then we celebrate also the fun stuff and go for a glass of wine. That's important.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And then, you know, the more the relationship progresses, then you really become friends. I know there are loads of people I met through network that are now friends. We celebrate birthdays together. They come over to mine. I mean, Cecilia, you were at mine at the beginning of the year for Galette des Rois. You know that a lot of them came from data.
Yes, I realize now.
Yeah, and we've had a few chatting evenings as well with all of us getting together. So I find that to be very valuable when it comes to that. And if it was not through networking, I don't know how I would have built that, because, you know, as an adult, it's not like you meet people that easily if you don't force it. So at work, maybe yes, but outside of work, you really have to force it. So doing it through networking has been a way for me.
No, that's a good point. And I think it is important to build your support network around you. And especially if you're an expat like we are, it carries you whenever there is a problem or not, or also celebrates with you with, you know, even with your little, with your smallest achievements. It's great.
I agree. So how do you network, Cecilia? I know, Yvonne, you were talking about bringing back 15 business cards.
Oh my God. Tell me about it. I think there's a few things that I wish someone had told me at the time when I started. Well, when I started my career, let's say. So that I would feel a bit more confident. Although I was in my 20s and thought, who cares? I'll just talk to people.
That was not me.
Yeah, well, you know, and then we transition into your 40s and you're a little bit less talkative as I am right now. But I mean, even if you're an introvert, you need to understand everyone is in the same boat. Everyone is in the same place. Nobody knows anyone there. And if they do, it's because it's not their first time there. So there was one day where they were by themselves also in this room full of people. So, you know, they expect you to go and talk to them. Don't be afraid. They're going to talk to you back. Nobody's going to look at you and go, ugh. That doesn't happen ever.
I have an advice on that. So now, you know, you're talking about being in the room, people are talking and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? And I'm in my corner. Something I did, as I said, 100% introverted. I used to be very shy, not anymore. But something I did when I started networking is I was getting there very early. So what happens when you have a networking event? So there is always a main thing, unless you go just for networking or something, there is always someone talking, a main event, and people will be arriving a bit before that. So I would arrive as early as possible so that I can see the people coming, and then they will be coming, and that means no one is having a conversation yet. And it's easier to find someone who is not having a conversation this way, and you can start a conversation with them. Because what I find, and even today, I find it really difficult to get into a conversation that is already happening, because I don't know, like, it feels like I'm interrupting someone. I have to ask them, what are you talking about? Then they have to start again, and it just kills the flow. So being the one starting the conversation has made it so much easier for me. So coming in early, finding someone I can speak with straight away, and then that means that at least I know there will be one or two people I will have spoken with at that event.
That's a great advice. I quite like that. I've never done that because I'm always late in things, but that's just me. I think another thing you need to think about is also put yourself some kind of expectations, some kind of objectives. Just like, don't think you need to bring 15 business cards. Oh my God, please never, don't ever think of that. But think, like you said, I'm going to talk to at least two people today. Just two, and that's sufficient. And even if you've spoken to the two of them and you think that's sufficient, go home. That's fine. It's okay. You know, this is on yourself. You're putting the pressure on yourself. So don't put too much pressure because you're not going to feel comfortable doing it. I think also what's important is to maybe have a think a little bit in advance before you get there. What kind of event is this? Is there something that you can think of, like a few questions that you can have already prepared? So let's say it's a conference. So you meet someone at a conference and you say, oh, have you been here for the whole day? Did you go to any of the sessions? Which one was your favorite one? And people will develop from that. Otherwise, I think also, which is really important, is you have to listen to people. I know, oh my God, I remember so many times when I was in hospitality conferences and you're talking to someone, you're looking at them and they're looking to all the 15 people around you. And I hated it. Like, you're not interested in what I'm saying. You just want to talk to the next person to get the next business card for your 15 for your boss.
Sometimes that happens, you know. So let's imagine you're someone who has to pick up 15 business cards. I mean, God, we're working data. We don't have to do that. Well, unless you are a consultant or something and you're in sales, but we're not in sales. But sometimes you do need to move on to the next conversation. So I think You know, when you were talking about knowing what kind of event it is and preparing in advance, having an exit strategy to conversations as well is quite important. So knowing, sometimes you're just there thinking, oh my God, I need to move, or you just need to go home or something. But knowing what it is that you're going to say when you need to go and move on can help, so you don't find yourself in this awkward situation you're describing, Cecilia.
That's a good point too. I know that it has happened to me, and also trying to get out of a conversation can sometimes be a little bit challenging. But I think what is also important to think of is, you know, when, especially when you have conferences, there is like a full day or like over 2 or 3 days. Have a moment, have a breather, because I know that I have been to conferences where it's that you're there for 3 days and you network. It's heavily networking. You have to put a lot of energy out there. And sometimes I just needed to go for a walk outside of the hotel where I was, not talk to anyone, just look at the sky and have a breather. It's okay. You can feel overwhelmed. It's not a problem. But it happened, doesn't it?
I'm laughing because you're describing my life right now. So, you know.
Oh, well, there you go.
There are events where you are constantly interacting with people. And when you're an introvert, this just sucks the life out of you. And you want to be there. You know it's important. You're having a good time as well sometimes. It's just exhausting.
Yeah.
I found myself a few times, do not judge me, hiding in the toilet.
Oh, I've done it. Come on. Everyone's done it.
Hiding in the toilet for 10 minutes, being like, I am not going to talk to anyone for the next 10 minutes. The only way I can do that is by being in the toilet.
That's true. No, but it happens. And I fully understand. I've done it myself. Sometimes you do need a breather. And I think the last thing you need also is don't forget to follow up, because you can talk to people, but then if you never speak to them again, what's the point of this? So make sure you send them a message, invite them for a coffee afterwards, send them a message on LinkedIn, send them an email. I don't know, whatever. Just send something saying, hi, it was lovely to meet you. I really enjoyed our chat about this and this and this. I would love to continue the conversation, or would love to develop and have a coffee or whatever. You know, it's so easy and people will welcome you. We're all human beings. We all want to talk to people. We can't live on our own. So don't worry.
That reminds me, I have to do that. So thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And so we've been talking a lot in this episode. It was interesting.
I feel we have.
But we have been talking a lot about, you know, building relationship. Networking is really about building a relationship. It's not about something that's transactional, although sometimes it can be transactional. But to me, it's very important to have a relationship with people. Really stay connected. Don't just disappear on people. Check on them. Ask them how things are going. And I'm not saying you have to message people every week, but have some kind of cadence. So I know, depending on the kind of relationship I have with someone, I might check in on a monthly basis. Cecilia, we check very often because we have now become friends from our networking thing. So have different levels of what's comfortable for you when it comes to checking on people and then having a conversation. I know I have some friends that I also met at networking events that I say, life is busy. Let's just make sure we meet at least once a month. So we know once a month we're meeting. Same with people from, same with mentors. So I will say, okay, let's go for coffee or something once a month. So we know we still get in touch and catch up. And it's not necessarily that you need something from the person, but just building the relationship is quite important. Show interest in the other person's life. Yeah, so showing interest is not about being like, oh, I need this from you. You give it to me and that's it. I'm out. So you need to show interest in the other person, see what it is that you can help them with as well. So I know at the beginning I was thinking, well, there is nothing I can bring to someone who is much more senior than me. That's not true. There is a different perspective that you can bring. There is a skill that they have that they don't have that you might discover, not today maybe, but after a few interactions. It is a two-way street, so seek to provide support as well as much as you're taking. So I think that's all for our tips on networking. We touched on quite a lot.
I feel like we touched on quite a lot, but I think those are also super important. And actually, let's ask the listeners if there are some tips that perhaps we didn't cover, or maybe their favorite networking places. Like, I don't know, maybe there are some LinkedIn groups we don't know, some events we're not aware of. So feel free to share with us and we'll speak to you very soon.
Yeah, looking forward to hear what it is that you have to say. Speak soon. Thank you for listening to the Women in Data podcast. We will be back in a couple of weeks with a new guest. Until then, if you have 2 minutes, it would be great if you could leave us a rating or a review, as it helps not only to make the podcast more visible, but also to enhance the content. If you don't want to miss the next episode, follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We are also on LinkedIn. And if you wish to, you can even register to the community for free. All you have to do is head to womenindata.co.uk. Have a great day.